Be seated. Be seated. Well, we're in our series, and of course our series is called Deal or No Deal. It's a spinoff, of course, off of the television program Deal or No Deal. The Lord does that with us. What He does is He comes and He offers us deals. And we try to get a better deal. You know, we want to get another case. We think it's more in the other case. And so we often reject His deal and end up with a bankrupt life. So what we're talking about here are the deals that the Lord gave us. And I wanted to say this before I really get started about with today's. The first one that we did was tithing and giving. And I just want to applaud you. I want to tell you, you guys, you stepped up to the plate and so many of you just started doing that. And I want you to know I'm already hearing the miracles and the windows that God is already opening for you. And I'm just so proud of you for stepping up and doing that. And today's lesson is going to be called salvation. Or actually, we're really going to be talking about salvation and the resurrection of the dead. The book of Job gives us a very interesting scripture. Job says this, "My spirit is crushed, and I am near death. The grave is ready to receive me." There's a word in that verse that everybody in this room understands. We're aware of it. It sometimes brings us fear and anxiousness or anxiety. Everybody in the room understands the word grave and what the word grave insinuates. See, the word grave is a place where we leave a dead person. Graves are everywhere. Every continent has graves. Every nation has graves. Every state, every city has graves. Every town, every community has graves. Graves are everywhere. And as you leave today, many of you are going to pass graves. And if we don't pass them, we'll come close to them because graves are everywhere. And graves come in all sorts of form. Graves can be a vase with ashes in it of a loved one. Graves can be a vault where a loved one is shoved. Graves can be a hole in the ground. But no matter what a grave is, no matter what form it is or where it is, a grave is a place where we leave a dead person. And every grave has a dead person within it, a dead baby, a dead boy, a dead girl, a dead teenager, a dead young woman, a dead old woman, a dead young man, a dead old man. But no matter where it is or what form it's in, a grave is a place that we leave a dead person. We've all been to a time in our life where we watched as they maybe lowered a loved one into the ground, into their grave, or maybe we sent them off to a crematory and got back a vase, or maybe we watched as they shoved it into a vault. And we all felt the emptiness and the pain and the crying and the mourning that we all felt within our own hearts. But every grave is a place where we put, where we leave a dead person. A grave is something that we all have. What I'm wanting to say today is that each of us are on a journey. And the journey is pointing each of us to a grave. Each of us will one day say, as did Job in the scripture that we read, "The grave is ready to receive me." Now, we don't like to think about that, but it's the absolute truth. It's the bottom line of this life. It's what we're doing. I'll never forget the day that my dad said that to me. My dad told me, "Delbert Ray, I'm about ready to leave here." And it wasn't long. I put my daddy in his grave. I remember my wife's dad saying the same thing. He said something very similar. What he said is, "I can't go on like this much longer." And only a few days later, we put Floyd in his grave. A grave is a place where we leave a dead person. And all of us are on a journey that's going to go to a grave. But what I'm wanting to say today and what I'm wanting you to hear so desperately today is that loved one that you put in the grave, that loved one that you sent to the crematory, or that loved one that you put into a vault, that loved one that you lost, that is not the last time that loved one's body will be seen. If you go to your grave before the Lord comes back, it will not be the last time your body is seen. Your body will be seen again because that's not the end. The grave is not the end of the body. The Lord was telling a Well, actually, he told us about salvation, but he had been ministering to a guy who had been ill for 38 years. He was crippled. And so the Lord healed this guy, and it upset the religious people. It upset the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It upset them because he healed him on the Sabbath day. And the Lord, as I imagine it, just sort of looked at them and he says, "That upset you? That marveled you? Well, here's my paraphrase. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think that marveled you, wait till you hear what I've got to say next." And so what the Lord did is he sprang from that and he began to talk about salvation. He began to draw a word picture as to how it works. And then he didn't leave it in the normal place that you and I here are realized or are confronted with just salvation. The Lord took it to a new level. And it's to that level which I'm wanting to talk today. What he did, I want to read it to you. It's in the book of St. John, chapter 5 and verse 24. Let's read it. He says, "I tell you the truth." Now, your King James Version would say, "Verily, verily." "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Now, please notice while that's still up there, the only way you're going to have eternal life is to hear his words and believe him who sent him. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. There are a lot of things that project to us the principles of Christ, sort of the words of Christ, but you can't just apply the principles of Christ. What you've got to do to enter into eternal life is you've got to believe that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And these two things, he says, you have crossed into eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over. Would you say that back to me? He has crossed over. I want you to say it one more time. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, this crossing over thing, this being this eternal life thing, was this thought was new to the Jew because they were children of Abraham, thought they already had eternal life because they were Jews. And Jesus is letting them know right here, no. There's only one way you're going to get in and have eternal life is that's hear my words. And number two, you've got to believe I am the Son of God. That way you can cross over. And we've got to realize that it doesn't matter that our parents were Christians. It doesn't matter if we come to church. It doesn't matter if we pay our tithes. What we've got to realize is that we've got to do these two things. We've got to hear his word, which means apply his word to our lives and believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what Jesus did was sort of draw a word picture, and I'm going to try to do something here that'll help you understand it just a little bit. He kind of drew a line, and he said, what you do to come into eternal life is cross over the line. Now, for me, that happened in 1978. I was 29 years old. I had done some things in Sunday school, done what they told me to do, and done some things as a youth, and he was even a youth leader. But I knew in 1978, at the age of 29 years old, that I crossed over the line. I knew when that happened. And I know that a person knows. I know that you know whether you've crossed over the line or not. You may have done all the religious stuff. You may have prayed the sinner's prayer. You may have done the things that Christians are supposed to do. But you know in your heart of hearts if you crossed over the line or if you just went through the motions. Because you know why? Because you do the Word of God. You've heard it, and now you're applying it to your life. And you worship Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Son of the living God. But Jesus didn't just leave it right there. That's basically what we hear, isn't it, of what salvation pretty much is. Jesus didn't leave it there. What Jesus does now is he funnels it down, and he boils it down, and he condenses it down, and he shows us why we cross the line, why we hear, why we believe. Let me show you. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 5, the next verse down, verse 25 says, "Verily, verily, or I tell you the truth, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is." I need you to say, "and now is." And now is. This is something you can have now. This now is. "And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." This is now available. This now is. This is crossing over. "For as the Father hath life," that's Zoe in the Greek, "in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Jesus knew he was an eternal being. Give life in himself. "And hath given him authority to execute judgment. Judgment on what? He's going to tell us. Execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. He is the King. He is the one that they said would come. He is the Son of God. Marvel not at this. Now, he's saying, don't get all amazed and all upset because I healed this cripple. Don't get all amazed and all upset because I talked about crossing the line and believing. Don't get all amazed and all upset about that. He says, here is what you can get upset about. In fact, he's saying, you should get upset about this. You should marvel at what I'm about to say. At what I'm about to say, you should be amazed, and it should upset you if you have not crossed over the line. He says this, the hour is coming. Now notice here, there is no now is. The hour is coming in the which all, how many? All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus said, don't get upset because I healed somebody on the Sabbath. Don't get upset because I talked about an initial crossing the line. You need to get upset. You need to marvel that I am going to raise every single person out of every single grave, and they're going to stand before me in judgment. Now that you need to be upset about. Jesus boils it all down. He boils down the hearing and not hearing, and the believing and not believing, and the crossing over the line and the not crossing over the line. He boils it all down to something like he said in Matthew chapter 25. He says, I'm going to separate everybody into goats, those who have not crossed the line, and sheep, those who have crossed the line. He boils it all down to graves. Everything you've ever done, your whole life, is coming down to the grave. He boils it all down to graves, and then he strains that down to two resurrections. The resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. But every single person will stand before the Lord. And what he's saying, and I don't want you to miss this part, what Jesus is saying here is the reason that you hear, the reason you believe, the reason you cross over the line is not just so you can have a happy, good life right now. It's so you will avoid the resurrection of damnation. It's so you can have a resurrection of life. Now let me show you. This is what I'm going to try to say to you today. This is what coming to Christ and crossing the line all funnels down to: the resurrection. His resurrection and your resurrection. Now, I want to ask you something. When is the last time somebody taught you about the resurrection of the dead? Now, if you hang around here, you hear about it when we have communion. Sometimes we'll talk about the resurrection of the dead. He says, I'll raise the last of you the last day if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood. But when is the last time you had real instruction on the resurrection of the dead? Most of us have never had it. Do you know why? Can I tell you why? You see, there's a confusion about the resurrection of the dead. It's confused with something called the rapture. Now, Jesus never taught the rapture. Jesus taught the resurrection of the dead. Don't let that confuse you. There is a resurrection of the dead where every single person comes forth and stands before Jesus Christ to be judged. The Lord places it all down into this funnel. And though there are, this is one of His most specific doctrines, it's a doctrine that we seldom hear about. It's a doctrine that we seldom realize even exists because it's confusing. Now, here's what Thomas Watson, who is a theologian, says. He says, the body shall rise again. We are not sure to rise out of our beds as we are to rise out of our graves. There is no guarantee that you will wake in the morning. There is no guarantee that you'll even make it home today from church. You have no guarantees there. The guarantee you do have is that there is a day that is coming that you will come out of your grave. Are you ready for the resurrection? Most religions teach an afterlife. Hinduism and Buddhism and all these other religions teach an afterlife, and it's usually in the arena of incarnation. And some of them work in a little resurrection into their doctrine. For example, Buddhism believe that when a person dies, the spirit that was in that person hovers around that body for 3 days. And if that spirit desires to, it can re-enter that body and cause an instantaneous resurrection. But every one of them that teach a reincarnation, and most of those who teach a form of resurrection, also teach an endless cycle of death. You die again, again, and again. You die so you can live, so you can die, so you can live. You have to go through the pain, the suffering of death over and over and over. Isn't that just a wonderful religion? Now, facetious. That's horrible. See, this is something that separates Christianity from everything else. You get one shot at it in Christianity. He says, I'm going to give you the Bible. I'm going to give you people. I'm going to put things around you so you can do it right, get it right the first time. And you don't have to die but once. The Apostle Paul says it's all about Christ's resurrection and our or your resurrection. In fact, he says this. He says, if this is all we have, if we could just have an abundant life now, if this is it, then this is a miserable religion. That's what he says. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, it says this. And if Christ be raised from the dead, then your faith is vain. Let me start over. And if Christ be not raised, there you go. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yet are you in your sins? Then they also which are fallen asleep. I love the way the New Testament does that. They fall asleep. It's not death. You see, because in the Bible, you're sleeping. And I'm going to talk more about that. You're not dead. It's not over. Those that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, if there's nothing after this life, then the body is no good, it's just gone, it's eaten by worms, it's decayed, it's nothing but dust. It's no good, it's perished. This is what he's saying. He says, then the body has perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Of all the religions, he's saying, of all the religions that are in the world, then this is a miserable religion if this is all it offers. But, everybody say but. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. What does that mean? That Jesus was the first fruit so that you too can do what Jesus did. He was the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by that came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, the reason you die is heredity. Your grandparents died. Your great-grandparents died. It all goes back to Adam. We die because we inherit that through heredity. But what we inherit in receiving Christ and crossing over the line, he says, but die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There is a physical resurrection. A physical resurrection. Jesus talked about it a lot. He talked about it a lot, and the apostles talked about it a lot. We don't talk about it enough. Let me show you what happens when it's talked about the way it should be talked about. In Acts chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, it says this. They were greatly disturbed. Talking here about religious people. People get disturbed. And you ought to be disturbed if you haven't crossed the line. They were greatly disturbed, the Bible says, because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the what? The resurrection of the dead. Now watch what happens. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. What message? What is the message they heard? The resurrection of the dead. This isn't it. There's more after this. We all know in our heart of hearts, this isn't it. We all know that. Something deep inside of you tells you there is something after this. They heard the message and believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000, and women. Why? Because they heard the message of the resurrection of the dead. We need to talk about the resurrection of the dead. You need to talk to your loved ones, the people that you want to see come into the kingdom of God. You need to talk to them about the resurrection of the dead. Are you ready for the resurrection of the dead? Not are you ready to pray a prayer with a preacher or ready to go to church. No, are you ready for the resurrection? Jesus, well, in Acts chapter 28, the Apostle Paul is here speaking, and here's what he says. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I ask you a question. If God can make this universe, if he can put all those stars up there and they're running around at thousands of miles an hour and they never collide, if he puts this earth in orbit and fixes it so it's spinning at hundreds of thousands of miles an hour, but yet we're hanging on here by something called gravity, if he can put the moon and the sun and the waves and the fish and create your body, and just as something like your eye is a miracle. It's a miracle you can hear sound. It's a miracle you can talk. If God can do all that, is it impossible for him to raise the dead? He says, why do you think it's incredible? It was amazing to me. I was thinking about this, you know. And Jesus was preaching and teaching the resurrection of the dead. And the Sadducees, because they were sad, you see, because they were Sadducees. And the Sadducees came to them and they said, okay, we want to ask you a theological question. A woman is married and she's married seven different men. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? It was a trick question. Put the verse up there for me. Let me show you what Jesus said to them. He said, you do err. Because you know why? You don't know the scriptures. I'm satisfied today. Most Christians don't know the scriptures. Because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know what? The power of God. Our God has the power to make the resurrection happen. There is no doubt about that. You might not make it home. You might not get up in the morning, but you're coming out of that grave. It's interesting that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, talks about this. It's one of the last teachings in the book of Revelation. It's in chapter 20. Here's what it says. Chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, the young, the old, the important, those that weren't so important. I saw them stand, not hover or levitate. You saw them what? Stand. I saw them stand before God, and the books were open, and the sea gave up the dead. That's interesting. You can take that down for just a second. The sea. Now think about that. Think about that. A person dies in the sea. They don't have a proper burial. They die in the sea. What's going to happen to that body? Fish going to eat some of it, and crabs are going to eat some of it, the waves and the current, it's going to decay. The tide is going to take some of it to this end of the earth, and the tide is going to take some of it to that end of the earth. But yet on Resurrection Day, the sea gave up the dead. Isn't that amazing? The sea gave up. Put it back up there for me. Let me show you something else that's amazing. And death and hell gave up the dead. When a person who has not crossed over the line dies, that spirit and soul goes to hell for torment. But on Resurrection Day, they come out of hell. They come out of the grave. They're united together with that body. And they stand before a living God. And they're questioned. And it says the books were opened. Death and hell delivered up the dead and they that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and whatsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice not cast into hell, cast where? Lake of fire. Hell's not a person's final destination if they're far from Christ. Lake of fire. Hell is bad. But imagine eternally going through a lake of fire. Jesus says, you've got reason to fear this. You've got reason to fear this. Put the next scripture up there for me. He said, don't fear somebody who can just destroy or kill the body. But you better fear this. You better fear him who can destroy both soul and body. There is a physical resurrection. It's not over with your spirit. It's not over with your soul. It's not over with the grave. Your soul and your body in hell. The hell of the fire. The hell of the lake of fire. Goodness gracious. You know, on the other hand, there's a resurrection of life. There's a resurrection where it's good. There's a resurrection where I get the body I've always wanted. The body my wife's always wanted. There's a resurrection where I get a body like Jesus. A resurrected body. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul starts talking about this, and he says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised, this is the first crossing, if you've crossed over, then the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also, in like manner, the same way as, will also give life to your spiritual bodies. Talk to me, somebody. Your mortal body. Just as He did to Jesus. Your mortal body through the Spirit who lives in you. You got to have the Spirit in you. You got to cross the line. You got to see the kingdom. You got to enter the kingdom by water and by the Spirit. You've got to cross over that line. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 says it even better. It says, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform your lowly bodies so that they will be like what? Somebody tell, what does that verse say? I will be like, that you will be like if you've crossed over, be like what? His glorious body. See, this is the resurrection of the dead. This is what it comes down to. It's not over just because we have a good, abundant life in this life. Paul says, if that's all there is, then this is a miserable religion. It's more than that. There is a resurrection day. Why does God raise us from the dead? Why is it? What's the purpose of it? Why does He want to even do that? He's got our spirit. He's got our soul. It's so that your body can be rewarded. Listen, my body has served the Lord Jesus Christ just as long as my spirit and soul has. And it's sometimes even had to work harder to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What is right about leaving it in a grave to perish and to decay and never being used again when my spirit and my soul get to go and be with the Lord and get rewarded? It's to raise our bodies. It's to reward our bodies, to put on imperishable, to put on incorruption, to be glorious, to be powerful, to be spiritual, truly spiritual. Let me read it to you in 1 Corinthians 15:42. Says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It won't die. It won't hurt. It can't get sick. It is imperishable. Nothing hurts it. No more pain. No more suffering. It's imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it will be raised in glory. It'll be a glorious body, totally separated for the use of Jesus Christ and for the worship of Him and for Him and His kingdom. It will be like the angels. Jesus told those guys, He said, listen, you won't have to worry about who you're married to because you're going to be like the angels. It doesn't matter who you've married to or who you ever were married to because you're just there for God now and you're there to do powerful and wonderful things. He says it's sown. It's sown It's raised in glory. It's going to be raised in, sown in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power. Dunamis. Miraculous power. Explosive, miraculous power. A body like Jesus. And it says, it is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. This isn't a gas body or an invisible spirit thing. What the word actually means is non-carnal. How many of you ever struggle with your carnal nature? your thought life, you know, struggled with some addictions or things that, you know, like we all do, right? Yeah. I won't go into them. We do. But there's a time, there's a resurrection where it's non-carnal. It's supernatural. It's just like the body of Jesus. That's what we get, and it's a reward for your body. Your body deserves rewarding, don't you think? It's put up with you all these years. You've put it through so much, and it's raised to be rewarded. It's raised to be rewarded. I will be seen again. What's better than that to me is I'm going to get to see my mama again. We love that body, don't we? We love how they look. We love how they look. We love their voice. We can hear it still in our dreams at night. We love how they touched us and how they felt when we touched them. We love their smell. I won't forget very long ago, my wife was talking to her sisters and their dad was a mechanic. And no matter what Floyd did, he had that smell of grease on him. No matter how many times he washed, it was just in him. It was his smell. And they were talking about that. And from time to time, they'll go and they'll just get something that belonged to Floyd and smell it. I'm going to see Mama. I'm going to see my granddaddy, who I've told you about, that taught me how to play Monopoly. I'm going to see my granddaddy again, who taught me how to be a granddaddy. The grave is not the end. There is a reward for the body. But the only way you're going to cross that line is to believe and to hear. And if you will, you can cross over. He says you have crossed over. You didn't have to pray a prayer with a preacher. What did you do? You heard and you believed. You didn't have to sign a membership card and join a church. Now, these are things that you might do if you do cross over, but it's not necessary that you have to do those things to cross over. It's a personal thing. And the only way it happens is to hear and believe. I want to tell you this. To avoid the lake of fire, you have to cross over. If you do not, and if you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, if you continue to reject Him, you will die. And when you're raised again, you'll be raised as evil and in the resurrection of damnation. You will be cast into a lake of fire. It's more sure than you're getting home today. There's a passage in the Bible. Jesus had a friend. His name was Lazarus. He went to see this friend. He had died. He went to the place where they had buried or put Lazarus, his grave. He stood there, and Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha heard that Jesus was there, and she went running to him and said, "Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died." He said, "Martha, Martha, Martha, listen, your brother's going to live again." He said, "Oh, I know he's going to live in the resurrection at the last day. Let me read it to you." John chapter 11, verse 24, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Now, there's a lot there, but the resurrection is the last day. Jesus saith unto her, "I am." Isn't that? I am the resurrection and the life. I control the resurrection and the life. I control eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection can't happen without me. I am the resurrection and the life. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whomsoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Then he asked a question above all questions that you can ever be asked, and I'm about to ask you. "Believest thou this?" She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Christ. You're the one that was sent to come into the world." The only way you're going to avoid the lake of fire is to cross the line. Believe and allow His Word to be in your ear so that you can hear it in your heart. It will change your life. This isn't it, folks. It's good to have a great and abundant life now, but there's a day coming when every grave is going to give up what's in it, and they're going to stand in judgment. Let's bow our heads. I'm asking you today, believest thou this? Do you believe? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If you have, then you've crossed over. If you've not, you should fear. You should fear. Jesus said, you better fear. Now, some of you have gotten away from God. You've gotten away from Him, and you're not sure on which side of the line you are now. You need to know. I want to give you that opportunity right now. You don't know where you are. If that's you, you're just not sure. Maybe there was a time in your life that you came to Jesus and you felt like you crossed the line, but you just don't know now. I want you to raise your hand just where you're sitting. You're not coming down here to shake my hand or sign a card or nothing. Nobody's seeing but me. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up and say, Delbert, I want to be sure. Will you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I see hands. I see hands. I see hands. Any others? Hold them up just a second. Hold them up any longer. Any more. I see your hand. I see your hand. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Put them down. Now, maybe you've never crossed the line. You know in your heart. You know in your heart that you've never crossed and you're going to go to hell. You know it. But today you want to cross the line, if that's you. Again, nobody's here watching but me. I want you to raise your hand and say, Delbert, be praying for me. I'm crossing the line today. That's you. Slip your hand up for me. Slip your hand up for me. Raise it up real high. Raise it up real high.